So open up your Bible or your app. 2 Corinthians 10. No applications tonight. App people are Sunday morning people. Yeah, well, there's more than Tom. There's others who open up their app. Now, the thing about that is, like, I don't care. That's fine. I don't have a big problem with that. I'm not addicted to paper. One time I forgot my Bible when I was going out to Seven Oaks, and I could borrow one from the guys, but I used my iPod, and it wasn't so good because if you don't, like, move it for a couple of minutes, then it turns itself off. Now, if I set that so that it would, like, turn itself off after 10, 15 minutes, it didn't good. But, you know, you look at a verse and you start discussing it, and then by the time you look back at your screen and it's totally dark and you got to, you know, fire it all up again. It takes a few seconds. Okay, guys, hold on, you know, and stuff. So that one's so good. So I usually just use a Bible because it's like, you know, it's always open. And anyway, I'm sorry. I thought it'd be interesting. I don't know. It always does. Okay, we'll pray and we'll start. Father and our God, as we look into your word tonight, we pray that you'd richly bless us with knowledge from on high. Lord, tell us the things that you'd want us to know, things that we can apply in our lives that would make us the men and the women you've called us to be. We want to live separate lives, Lord. We want to represent you very well. Help me to serve these people well. Lord, and teach really well, in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 10. I'm going to do something I don't generally do. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and we'll go back, and we'll unpack it. We'll call it a study. We'll wrap up. It'll be good. Now, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ's. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. For we dare not make ourselves of the number, or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves, and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope, when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. There it is. It's just clear, and we don't even have to comment on it. Let's fold up our Bibles and call it night. Well, maybe, but there's maybe one or two things that we might want to look over just a little bit. Okay, he's winding down here. He's using strong language, and he's being a little sarcastic here in verse 1. He's saying, I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And that's what he's actually doing. That's actual. That's not sarcastic. Now he goes into sarcasm. Who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. Why does he say that? Because look in verse 9, that I may not seem as if I would terrify you by letters. For his letters say they. This is a they here. Who? Well, Judaizers and Paul's detractors, they say this. Listen, Paul, when he's away, he's all, he's tough guy. Mr. Tough Guy with his letters. His letters will make you cry practically. But when he's here, he's nothing to be, feared. He's contemptible. His speech is contemptible. He's not overly impressive. Apollos was the orator. Peter was physically large and impressive in his size, like, listen to me or I'll punch you, you know what I mean? Kind of, not that he said that anywhere. I mean, but you know how big people are, you know what I mean? Their physicalness is enough to be impressive sometimes. And others were like, you remember, like, Peter was Jesus' right-hand man on earth and stuff like that. So this isn't like an impressiveness there. Paul, second generation. Oh, yeah, road to Damascus, bright light. Well, that's what he says. He's not even really an apostle. And he's not preaching like the rest of the apostles are. I don't think he's the real deal. I think what he's teaching is inaccurate. It's heretical. And look at him anyway. He's nothing to worry about. That's kind of what one of the things they're saying. And one of the things that they're saying, why they're saying that, is to discredit his authority so they can discredit his message. Why? Because there's people who are following him around the Roman Empire saying, oh, no. Yeah, Jesus. But you still have to get circumcised. Jesus, no, that's fine. Yeah, he's Messiah. But you still have to become a Jew. You still have to become circumcised. You still have to keep the law. You still have to keep Jewish dietary law and Jewish rituals. You still got to go to the temple. You still got to, be bar mitzvahed. You still got to be et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and et cetera. And so, the whole problem is like, if you get rid of the messenger, you get rid of the message. Oh, Paul, please give me a major break. Paul, little squeaky, hook-nosed, balding, bow-legged, non-speaking Paul. And that was the knock on him. And so he's saying, he starts out with, I beseech you, I'm begging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Oh, I can cloud up and rain on you. I have that in my repertoire. But let me tell you, I'm representing, and God's not like that. Don't make me have to be like that. When God clears his throat, a deer out in the forest, have their litter. They don't calve. What do? I don't know. They have babies. Okay. So there's the thing. He's, God's impressive. He's very awesome. But what do we need to know about him? He's gentle. Jesus, in his only statement he ever made that was autobiographical in nature, he said, I'm meek and lowly of heart. He didn't say anything else about himself. I'm omnipotent. He could have. He didn't. Think about it. So Paul's saying, look, I want to tell you, I'm begging you, meekly and gently, because that's how Christ is, who in presence and base among you. I hear what you're saying out there. Oh, yeah. When he comes here, he's Mr. Humble. But when he's writing letters, he's Mr. Tough Guy. But being absent and bold toward you, I know what you're saying about me. That's what he's saying. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present. I don't want to come there and start, cleaning house, start grabbing people and, choking them until they smarten up. I don't want to do that. I'm begging you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. Me and them are going to go to the woodshed, and they're not going to like it when I get there. I'm going to straighten out a few people, he's saying. These are people who are the little pus pockets who are trying to undermine his authority, his apostolic authority. Can you imagine that? Are those Christians? Maybe. Are they sincere? I don't doubt it. Are they wrong? Oh, yeah. Imagine being in heaven eternally. Sorry. Every time you run to Paul, sorry, dude, I was so clueless. You know, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right. No, I was just so, I didn't know. Imagine trying to undermine Paul's teaching authority. Everything, well, people do it today, you know. The funny ones with the collar turned around backwards. Oh, well, when Paul said this, he didn't really mean, I wouldn't want to be in those shoes. I just, no. Anyway, I beg you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. Wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. You know, people think like that we, you know, they, you know, take a poke at us, so we got to take a poke back at them. Like we do this like fleshly people do. You know, they undermine me, I undermine them, and back and forth it goes. He says, no. Some people think that's how this is going to play out, but that's not how we play. Let me show you. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We walk in the flesh. We have flesh, okay? We're alive, okay? And then the battle with the flesh goes on every day, morning, noon, and night, 7-11, 7-11, yes, you know. Even when you go to the convenience store, it's still that way. All right, now. Forget it. You'll get it on the way home. I don't know. But we don't war that way. You know, some people think it's that way, but we don't war that way. Tells us something. We're in a war. Dramatic pause. Now, I want you to think about it. You know, me and Sue's talking. She says, I never catch a break. I need to just, you know, because something else came up. I'm looking forward just tonight catching up on some, you know, stuff around the house, some chores got to be done, you know, and this and this. And now we got to do this instead, and we got to run over here and stuff like this. She's saying she needs a vacation. I think she does need a vacation. One of the hottest working people I've ever met in my entire life is my wife. There's an element where we need a vacation. We need a rest from the war. No, it's war. You don't get a DD-214 and a good conduct and sayonara. Here's your papers. You know, you've served with distinction. No. Your enlistment's never over. It is when you draw your last breath. Until then, don't keep swinging, keep battling. We're in a war. It's not fair. I never get a rest. I never get a break. Yeah, I know. Need a hug? I mean, I don't know what else I can tell you, what else I can give you. It's going to be that way. And Satan's like the Terminator. Isn't he just like, you know, no mercy, never lets up. You're sick, right? So like you got a flu or something like that. And Satan, because he likes a fair fight, he says, oh, poor Christian. You know, I'd like to go over and really hassle them and really, you know, but I'm not going to tempt them because when they're down and out, it's not a fair fight. And I'll wait till they get back on their pins again, right? That's how he is. He's good like that. I don't know him that way. He never lets up. There's no mercy. He never slows down. He's trying to steal, kill, and destroy all the time. And we're in a war. And Paul says, listen, we don't war after the flesh. Now, he's at war with these people, but he's not at war against the flesh. He's at war against who's motivating these people. And I wouldn't doubt their sincerity. You know, a Mormon comes to my door and tries to convert me and get me to wear the bloody underwear and go to the temple and get baptized for the dead, and I'm going to become a god and have celestial babies eternally. I'm sure they're very sincere. I never doubt that. You know, but they are agents of Satan. I don't know. It's not a nice way to say that, is there? It's not like a, you know, I would say that and they wouldn't smile and say, oh, God bless you, thank you. You know, but that's what you need to know. And they're the same way. He's fighting these people, but he's not fighting. It's not a flesh and blood. He's fighting against, but we don't war that way. For the weapons of our warfare, they're not fleshly. They're not carnal, okay? But they're mighty, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, God's given us these weapons, and they're awesome weapons for pulling down strongholds. Now, two things he leaves undefined. One, strongholds, and two, what the weapons are. Gee, thanks, Paul. You know, what's a stronghold? It's something that's well fortified. You know, like Jerusalem, took about a couple of years to Roman legions, like several of them. Men, battle-tested, battle-hardened veterans. But Jerusalem was built in such a way, big wall, built way up, people defending. Took a long time to fall. It was a stronghold. You know what I mean? It's something that's well fortified. What are strongholds that he's referring to? Well, it could be anything. What are the strongholds in your life? Don't tell me. I mean, that's confession time, right? Don't tell me. What are strongholds in your life? Pride, unforgiveness, lust, you know, short temper, anger all the time. You know, strongholds, things that don't easily go away. You know, we prayed once, we got a victory, and now it's never come back and never bothered us again. Zip, that ever happens, right? But we have weapons that pull down these strongholds. What are the weapons? Well, I figured it out in my own thinking, right? I mean, listen, I'll open it up. What are the weapons? This plural, so there's got to be at least two. Huh? Yeah. Oh, huh? Yeah. Any others? Now you say, well, truth. Well, yeah, but the word. You know, you're just being redundant. And now you're saying, well, the gospel, you know, if you change them, that's kind of a weapon, then they're not attacking you anymore. Yeah, but that's still the word. You know what I mean? Because I was starting to think of all these different things, and I was like, but most of them were in the Bible. Like, you know, think about weapons. Okay, Jesus and Satan down in the Judean wilderness, and it's go time. Okay, the two champions. This is better than any octagon ever. If you know, in my thinking, this is it. You know, what is Jesus? He beat Satan like a drum. 3-0. He beats him like a rented goalie. It's you almost feel sorry for Satan. What did Jesus use? He used the Word of God. Okay. Now, and I thought about all these different things, and they all kind of fit in that the word grab bag, you know what I mean? And the other thing, but not really prayer. I mean, yeah, prayer is included in the word, but not necessarily. It's different, you know what I mean? Because you can pray. That's your long-range offensive weapon, you know what I mean? I'll pray. We'll see what happens. I'll get God on my side. Guys didn't get a chance. You know, let's say they're praying that Paul's such a nuisance, and he's not really preaching the gospel. So they say, pray to God that just Lord, just kill him. He ain't going anywhere till God's done with him. You know, now if Paul's praying, Lord, these are just really messing up your work. Get rid of them. Get them out of the way. Think God will get them out of the way? I think so. I mean, ultimately, who won? We don't know the name of any of these Judaizers. Think about it. Everyone knows the Apostle Paul. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal. You know, I'm not going to come in, blow into town, you know, get my posse, and we'll just smack them around a little bit, and we'll just, no, we don't do it that way. No, our warfare is totally different. One, it's not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers and spiritual forces and things like that. And two, you know, let me tell you how weapons roll out. Now, I was thinking about the armor of God, right? But those aren't really weapons. I mean, like a helmet's not a weapon. It's a defensive, it's armor. I mean, I never see a guy take his helmet off and just wailing on somebody, trying to kill him to death. I mean, you got a sword, right? Use the sword, right? And it makes for a better weapon. It'll cut his head right off. I mean, it'd take a long time to bludgeon him to death with your helmet. It's just not designed for that, you know? Just my thinking, you know. The weapons of our war, they're not carnal. It doesn't work like that. But they're mighty, and they actually work. Really? Yes. Really? What's a stronghold in your life? Have you applied the Word of God to it? Have you applied prayer to it? I'm telling you, on the authority of this Word and on personal experience, it's going to go away. You know, we talked about the battle of battles in the book of Joshua. The outcome of the battle is never unsure. Never. God's up in heaven, and he's like, oh, I hope they win. Oh, and he's all like nerved up. And Can you imagine such a thing? No, all they do is check in with heaven. God gives them battle plan. Do what God tells you to do, and the outcome is sure. And the only time they get into trouble is when they don't apply that plan. They went through conquered all of Jericho and all the other cities after, except for Ai, because they messed up there. And they never lost a soldier in any of the battles. You know, we're talking like 30,000 chariots of iron and all this stuff, and you're thinking, we got them just where we want them. You know, God's got them all together. They're more than the sand by the seashore. Man, my arm's going to be tied by then. I'm going to be with the sword so off, I'm going to be hacking up people. I'm going to need some Ben-Gay tonight, that's for sure, you know. But that's all it is. That was the big worry. I wonder how much I'm going to sweat, you know, wiping out God's enemies, you know. That was the whole thing. I tell you, if you apply these weapons, the outcome of the battle is never in question. Now, these weapons, they're mighty to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These weapons, they'll do this. Now, what weapons? Again, the word and prayer will do what? Casting down imaginations. Imagination is not a good thing. It is in this sense. I mean, like, you know, you imagine and you think of something that's never been quite done before. Wouldn't this work better if, and then we have this invention and stuff like this, and that's a wonderful thing. Okay? I don't think that's what he's talking about. You know the commercial on TV, Megabucks, just imagine? Don't just imagine. It is not healthy. It's not a wonderful thing. Oh, I can't wait. If I won $1 million, you know what I'd do? Well, I'd just quit my job, right? And I would just buy me the car I would buy. It would, I'd love to just be driving it right up the driveway there, and you'd all be drooling saying, wow, what a ride. That's something sweet. And I don't know. I'll let you take a spin. I'm cool that way. And I'd be going like a permanent vacation, and I would just like, excuse me. Remember? God? You're a Christian, right? You love and serve Jesus Christ, right? You're obsessed about Jesus. Now you're all about my sweet ride. I'm not working anymore. I'm totally indolent, lazy. I sleep till I get right up at the crack of noon every day. No. None of these things are good for you. And I'll tell you why I know that, because otherwise you'd all be winning the lottery all the time, because God loves you. He wants to bless you, right? You know what I'm saying? So you just imagine. No, don't. Don't about, like, you know, you know, people do that. Oh, it'd be swell to be married to that one or be with that one. Marriage is not necessarily a prerequisite. Wouldn't that be a real cool thing? No, 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 no. You're already married. God's already, you know what? Well, that happens all the time. You know, a guy will sit there and he'll fantasize about somebody. Just make it a guy in this situation, right? And then the opportunity presents itself. It's real easy. He's already put the roadmap into play. All he's going to do is act out what he's thought of all these times. No, don't just imagine. You know, that's not how God wants us to be at all. And the Word of God cast down, and prayer cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And there's plenty of, evolution. Isn't that was that something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God? Certainly. Is the Word of God equal to the task? It certainly is. Of course it is. Is prayer? Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't know that you're going to pray evolution off the earth. Someday, no one will believe in it. The Creator himself will come rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years and... people who are evolutionists, they will be like so bummed out. You know what I mean? They'll be having a bad millennium. And just in case you're wondering, okay, that's going to happen. But in the interim, you know, you can pray in people's lives. I know a whole lot of people used to believe in evolution who don't anymore. They got saved. How'd that work? The Bible, prayer. I'm telling you, these weapons he's given us, they really, really work. And we can drag that off in 1,000 different ways and show you 1,000 different ways that will work, but we wouldn't get very far. Okay, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Easier said than done, but doable. And you have to. I talk to friends of mine, stuff like this. I could talk to a group of guys. I don't talk to a group of guys. I could talk to a group of ladies. I talk about loss and thought life and stuff like this. It's a war that we dare not lose. Can we win? Oh, come on. I was telling a guy, a guy comes into the program over Seven Oaks and stuff. And I'm talking to him and stuff like that. And I tell him about this stuff. He's, really? You can really do that? You can really? I wasn't blowing smoke up your skirt. I wouldn't be that guy who's just offering you, like, you know, telling you everything and having it not play out. No, it really can. You really can control your thoughts. Come to the place where, now, you'll have that crazy thought every once in a while. It's called temptation, I think. I don't get really too nerved up about that. I mean, I really don't. I almost laugh sometimes. Where'd that come from? I just dismiss it as the craziness it is. Martin Luther says you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. You get that crazy, that fiery dart from Satan. That's all I think it is. And just pray it away. Dismiss it. No, that's not what God's all about in my life. That's not what he wants. We pray. We forsake it. We bring every thought captive. And you have to work at it. Why? You know, another thing, too, is because, like, when Paul wrote this, he didn't have television. No, I mean, just think about how your eyes are assaulted with sensuality. I mean, Sunday afternoon, I'm watching 22 well-padded young men brutalize each other over a pigskin. Godly pursuit. What's godly? I mean, you know. And then a commercial comes on. You know, I know, they're selling cars. Why does the BIM have to be half-dressed and just, oh, it's crazy. It's crazy. Still, take every thought, obedience, bringing into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. When you come to the place where that you put that in the past, be ready always to be like vengeful against that thing coming back. I'm not going to let, I've won this war, I'm going to win all the battles now, and I'm not going to give that ground back. No, this battle is the Lord's. I've won it fair and square, and I'm not retreating. Don't come around here, Satan, trying to do that, because that ain't going to work. I'm not buying in. Still bringing every thought in captivity. And I think you got to be, like, a little bit feisty about this. I don't think you can be namby-pamby about this. I really think you got to fight. Like, you know, it's a warfare, and you got to understand that. And there's no let-up. There's never a time when it's like you can just rest. Okay, I've arrived. You know, now that I've been saved for 30 years, I've come to that level where I really never sin anymore. Or, oh, please, please. You just swallow the biggest bait of all. That's pride. That's arrogance. You're really hurting for certain if you think like that. You never let up. You never do, because your adversary never lets up. We gotta be diligent, and our adversary is like a roaring lion. He's wandering about seeking whom he may devour. He ain't devouring me. It ain't happening. God's given me too much weapons, and the weapons, they're mighty weapons. They really work. They can pull down strongholds. They cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. And they bring these weapons. They bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then, of course, it goes on to talk about that readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things after the outward appearance? And we've already covered that, you know. People, we looked at that like, Jesus in Nazareth, right? They knew him so good, they didn't know him at all. Isn't this the cop and his son? Isn't Mary his mother and his brothers all among us? They had no idea who they were dealing with. Yeah, he fixed my door jamb that time. Did a good job. He didn't charge me all out of doors, right? Thought, you know, can't be the Messiah. He worked on my house. He fixed my door, right? You know what I mean? They knew him so good, they didn't know him at all. Don't judge men after the flesh. We already looked at that several. But, and he's saying, do ye look on things after the outward appearance? If any man trusts in himself that he is Christ's, yeah, I belong to Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, Even so are we Christ. Now, you're comfortable with the idea, yeah, I belong to Jesus Christ. Well, how come you can't extend that to us, Paul's saying? It's a good question. Because otherwise, you know, it's like us four and close the door. You know, me and you are saved and everyone else we're a little bit suspect of. And I'm not so sure about you either, you know. And No, give people the benefit of the doubt, he's saying. I love Jesus too. What's your problem? How come you're undermining me? I'm trying to spread the gospel and bring people into saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you're actively working against me. You think you're Christ? Well, even so are we Christ. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for edification, and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. If I started talking about my authority, I wouldn't end up shamefaced. Why? You know, when God interrupts your road to Damascus experience, when Jesus leaves the right hand of God, comes to earth, knocks you off your high horse, and puts you on a mission, you got some authority going on, okay? When that happens to you, come and talk, and we'll talk about it. We'll compare notes, he's saying. When we start talking about authority, it's a kind of a good argument. For though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord hath given us for what? Why has he given us authority? For edification, building up, not for destruction. Hey, he didn't make me apostle so I can come in and, you know, throw a beating on you guys. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in building you up, not for your destruction. If I should boast about that, I should not be ashamed, that I may not seem as if it were terrifying you by letters, for his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible. Oh, he writes these big, powerful letters. He's a pussycat. He shows up. He'll just be humble and stuff. We don't have to worry about Paul. Wrong answer. Wrong answer. And Paul's not like that. You know, he felt really bad about his letter. You remember, we looked at that in the early chapters of this book. When he wrote a letter and stuff, and he says, but Titus came, he told me, no, it worked out. It worked out really good. They took it right to heart. They repented. It's all good. Because, I mean, Paul's like you and like me. You know, he mails it, and he's thinking, oh, I was too hard. And he's going to get a can opener. He's, you know, cutting the mailbox open with a can opener, trying to get the letter back. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You know, like you and I do. Like when I take somebody to task and I have to cloud up and rain on them and talk to them and really, you know, I don't be too harsh, but I want to be harsh enough. It's totally different with women than it is with guys. You know, guys, you need to let them know they messed up. You have to be harsh. They kind of expect that. You got to smack them a little bit, verbally. No, I'm serious. That's how guys are. That's how God does it with us. You know, I'm like, you know, remember him and Jacob wrestling all night long? Yeah, been there, done that. You know, you gotta put you in a hammerlock to get your attention because we're knuckleheads. We don't, you know, with women, he breaks their heart. He gets them crying and upset, and then they cry, and they met with God because they cried or something. I went through half a box of Kleenex. It was very, very spiritual. You know, whatever. We're different men and women. I know. When I talk to a woman, I want to be somewhat gentle. When I talk to a guy, I want to be somewhat less gentle. You know, but the whole thing is, I want to build up. I want to destroy. And if I have to, you know, come down on somebody, he did it by letters because he wasn't there. Okay. If I have to come down on somebody, you got to come down on somebody. That's what he's saying. But they're just thinking like, oh, that's all I got. You know, I'm tough guy when I'm behind the pen, but when I'm there, I'm weak and my speech is contemptible. But let me tell you this. Let such a one think this, that such as we are in word by letters, when we are absent, such will we be also indeed when we are present. I don't want to be that guy who Paul's all, you know, I'm on Paul's list. No. I'm going to be there with a present. I'm sorry. Mea culpa. Didn't mean it. I was having a bad hair day. Just because he's saying like, oh, yeah, that's what they think. Well, that's what they're going to get, basically, is what he's saying. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. I don't understand men of God, suppose, talking about their ministry and their this and their that and their, like, it's them. commend ourselves, you know. Have you ever heard, like, somebody be announced and, like, it would make you blush, like, how they go on and on and say all these things about him. I'm just thinking, like, ugh, he's just a guy. You know what I mean? I don't, commending ourselves, that's wrong on so many levels. Paul, this is Paul the Apostle, the Apostle, Paul. Paul, you know, favored son of Gamaliel there, his fair-haired boy, not literally, I mean, but his brightest, best student. He said, I couldn't even keep him in books. Paul, and he's not the commending himself guy. I mean, he has plenty to commend himself about. You'll see when he boasts in the next chapter, right? But his boasting, but we'll talk about that. He says, we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves to those that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. And can I tell you something? You do that too, and it's not wise. It's not wise. Because you do it in two directions. You do it like, you know, you just got saved and you're struggling, you're having your problems, and then you compare yourself with someone who's been walking with the Lord for 57 years and they're just shining. They exude, the Spirit of God just comes out of their pores. And you're comparing yourselves with them, you're going to come away unfavorable in that comparison, by the way. Or you compare yourself the other way. You find some poor schlep who's doing worse than you, and then you think, well, you know, thumbs under the suspenders. Well, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm not like this miserable, no good, you know. You can do that very easily. You can always find somebody who's not doing as good as you. Listen, I was cheating on my wife 2 months ago, but this guy, he's still cheating on his wife, so I'm doing better than him, you know. And we, you know, walk around acting like we're, you know, some sort of. You can always find someone who's not doing as well. That ain't nothing. Listen, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. You're comparing yourself with the wrong one. How you doing now? How's your perfection going now? I mean, you know what I mean? And we can do this. You know, I go to Seven Oaks, right? Tomorrow night, drug and alcohol guys. Most of them been in jail. Probably most, okay? Drugs, alcohol. So I've been drunk in over 30 years. Doing good. Last time I smoked marijuana was like, never. Look at me. you knucklehead. You see how bad that is? You see how wrong that is? But we do that, and it's so. Listen, all of us are going to hell, and deservedly so, and Jesus shows up and saves us. How did you come out better, or me come out better out of that deal? Were you going to, like, super deluxe jumbo hell, and I was going to hell light? You know what I mean? No, we were both going to hell, and Jesus saved us both. What are you bragging about? I'm not as bad as this guy. But this is what they're doing. They commend themselves. They're talking about their ministries. And don't compare ministries. You know what I mean? What are you doing? What God wants you to do. That's all. I've done this. I'll come clean. I've done this. It's wrong. You know what I mean? Some of that is like... Still to this day, how's it going? Oh, good. Praise the Lord. It's going good. So how many people you got coming out now? 5 million. Two. Does it matter? I mean, really? You know what I mean? Jesus says, I'll build my church. Well, let you build it, Lord. I'm just going to show up and teach. You know what I mean? But that's how the thing is, you know? Why? Why? Because we compare ourselves. Compare ourselves with us, among ourselves, and we're not wise. It's not wise. It's really kind of a dumb thing to do. Don't do that. But we will not boast of things without our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Measure. Listen, he's given us this much ministry that reaches even unto you. Corinthians. Hello, you remember me, Paul? I kind of founded that church down there. in Corinth? You remember. They were praying where to go, and doors are closing all around. So they have a dream at night. The man of Macedonia, come over to us. So they go over there and to Philippi, right? And they promptly get thrown in prison because that's Paul, you know. that's how he is. So they get out of there, and they go to Thessalonica, and they're promptly chased out of town. They go to Berea, and they, you know, meet with some problems there as well. So they go to Athens, Mars Hill, right? Remember all this stuff. We looked at this in Acts, and from Mars Hill, he goes to Corinth. That's what God gave me. That was, listen, I was obedient. I was following God every step of the way. And God said, Paul, Corinth. I got this town down here. They're Corinthianized. They are just, but I want you to reach them, Paul. I want you to reach them with the love of Jesus Christ. I want you to share the gospel of my blessed son with them. Paul, me. Remember, guys? I had that much ministry given unto me. I mean, why is all? When did I become a bad guy? When did I become not authoritative? Or when did I? You got saved because I was being obedient to God. Now he's not bragging about himself. He's just giving them a little bit of a history lesson. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reached not unto you. For we have come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors. You know, I don't want to brag about what some other guy did. You know, Paul was saying, I don't want to build on another man's foundation. Remember when he said that? No other foundation can be laid that which is Jesus Christ. He said, I want to, you know, go where the gospel hasn't been preached. I don't want to build on somebody else's. And I don't want to brag about what somebody else did, he's saying. You know, God gave me ministry to do what he wants me to do. That's the whole thing. It's just, you know, and he understands that. I don't want any more than what he wants me to do, and certainly not any less. You know what I mean? I kind of figured that out as well. You know, because I see a lot of things that a lot of people doing. Should we do this? Should we do this? Should we do this? Well, should you tell me? You know, because what's this ministry going to look like? Well, that's got more to do with you than it has to do with me. I mean, really. Say, you know, I've really got a heart for, oh, okay. How can we help? Can we pray? You need money? Do you need a building? Do you need a place to set up? I mean, you know what I mean? Are we going to be like feeding the poor? Are we going to have like a clothes pantry or a food pantry or a soup kitchen or a homeless shelter for battered women? Or are we going to be involved in, you know, a pregnancy center or youth ministry or fill in the blank? Are we going to be at nursing homes, or we can go door to door in some, less financially stable community? What's ministry look like? I don't know. What does it look like to you? Because I said on my own mind, I think it's what God has for me, right? And that, now the other stuff, that's kind of more a you function than a me function. What has he got for you? You know, that's something we have to pray through, and we have to be led by the Spirit of God. And maybe you can end up in Macedonia, and maybe from there you're going to go to Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Mars Hill, and finally Corinth, whatever, wherever God takes you. But I want to be the same as Paul. I want to brag about what somebody else is doing. I don't want to enter in on what they're doing, you know, because this is what it is. He set up a church. Now other people, listen, where were they when there was no church there? Where the Judaizers when there wasn't anybody there? Now the thing's going well. It's really full guns, taken right off. There's a well-established church in Corinth, and now the Judaizers show up. Oh, this Paul, you don't know what he's talking about. Listen, they owe their very lives, their very eternal lives to, well, Jesus won, but Paul for bringing the message. And now they come along. Because, you know, the people who, the false guys, they always show up with, there's already a church. I mean, that's their M.O. I think about this sometimes. Studying this chapter, I was thinking, well, what would happen if someone came here? You know, I'm off on someone. I get some guy come in, teach. Adam, he's been teaching nothing but falsehood. He tries to commandeer the church when I'm away and tell you how messed up I am and shows you the verses and all that stuff. I wonder kind of what would happen. I'm thinking like, ah, no, they know too much. I don't think it would be. But I would not like the fact that he was trying. I don't think he'd make any hay. I don't think you'd give him the time of day, but I don't like the fact that he'd try to undermine. I mean, where were you? There wasn't a church. There wasn't nobody meeting and stuff, and now you're coming along. Now, I mean, where were you to begin with? Now you come along and criticize everything? I mean, because like when nothing succeeds like success, when something's going, everyone wants to jump on board. And, oh, yeah. But he's saying, I don't want that. I'm not boasting of things without our measure, that is of other men's labors, inference, like they are. But having hope when our faith is increased that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. To preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. You know, this is how we want it to go. It was Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Mars Hill, Athens, that is, and Corinth, and Achaia, and Galatia. And, you know, he says, well, you're just one in the line. We want to go beyond to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. And not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Now, I was saying earlier, Paul's whole thing was to preach Christ where Christ hadn't been brought before. And you think, well, that's kind of hard to do in America. You know, everyone's heard of Jesus Christ and everyone's heard the gospel. Au contraire, mon frère. We are raising a whole generation of unchurched who don't know an epistle from an apostle, who have never darkened the doors of a church and don't know about the love of Jesus Christ. I think it's, one, incumbent upon us, but two, it's easy. If you want to go to a place that's never heard them before, you're at that place. Oh, they got some semblance to religion that hadn't played its way out yet. You know what I mean? They got that. Have they heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? Listen, I got to tell you, growing up in America, I didn't until I was 20. Don't assume. And we want to build where nobody's built before. I think we're in prime fishing country. I think there's plenty of fish around here. And I think Jesus, like he would say, like he said to Paul, go back in the city. I got plenty of people there, you know. I think he would say that about this community as well. I really would. I really do. That's how I feel. The preach the gospel in regions beyond you, and not to boast another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Listen, don't brag about your ministry. You want to brag about God. You know, that's ultimately, and that's all I want to do. You know, I love Jesus Christ. I want to tell everybody about how good he's been to me. How good I've been? No. If I've been good, why did he die? I mean, there's nothing to brag about. Oh, you know, the Adam Kasperzak Ministries and the... Oh, please don't even. You know, I wish, you know, when someone tells you about, where do you go to church? Oh, Calvary Chapel of Kennebec Valley. Well, why do you go there? I hope you can tell them without even mentioning my name. Because here's the thing. It's not about me, not even a little bit. I mean, really, in my heart of hearts, I believe this. I totally believe this. If you put your hand in a pail of water, right, and you take it out, how long will it take for the water to be where your hand wasn't and just kind of smooth itself over? That's how long it would take to replace me. I have no doubt. It's not about me. It's not even a little bit, not ever. It's, you know, you can raise up another guy who's probably smarter and more worthy. And he sent me not because I'm the best and the brightest, because he just says, do this, you know, but none of us are the best and the brightest, and he wants us to do things for him, right? So that's kind of how it plays out. Replaceable? And I know that's not it. I want you to go to church here because it's nothing about me. If I were to fall into tremendous sin, pray, that would never, ever happen. I'm determined in my mind that will never happen. Pray. Okay, but if I would, let's just say if I did, just, you're saying, Adam, you, impossible. I know, totally impossible, right? I'm not even comfortable talking about it. But let's just imagine, let's just say it happens. Next week, there'd be somebody else here. Hope we didn't lose a person. God's still God. He's still worthy to be praised. See, I don't want anyone boasting of me. I don't want to commend myself. I don't want to tell you about how good I'm doing. I want to tell you about Jesus Christ and his love and the fact that he came to earth on a rescue mission to save your soul from destruction. That's what I want to brag about. That's what I always want to brag about. And I think I'm scriptural here because he's saying, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Listen, he's worth glorying about. He's worth bragging about. He's worth elevating. He's worth talking about. Hey, is he done everything? Yeah. Is he good all the time only? Yeah. And I hear this, like, you know, stuff like Joe Blow Ministries and Joe Blow Bible College, along with Joe Blow Productions on TV. I don't want to say a name, although I could say many, and you could say them too. But you know what I mean? And then Joe Blow inevitably, invariably, does something horrible to make the whole body of Christ wince. You know what happens to that Joe Blow Bible College and Joe Blow Hospital and Ministries? It's all... No. We don't want to commend ourselves. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. I don't have to tell you how wonderful I am, Paul says. I don't even think I'm that wonderful, but I tell you what, if God has sent me here, let him say it. Because I don't have to, you know, sit here and battle that, you know, fight that battle. You know what I mean? And someday God's gonna say, well done thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Well, when's that gonna be? Who's gonna be there and who's not? Is God gonna say to me? That, well, that's what you got to figure out. I mean, if you go to church here, you know what I mean, for the time being. When somebody else, you got to think, whoa, is this guy the real deal? Let God say it. Let God say it in your heart. If I tell you how legit I am, I tell you my pedigree and what I've studied and how much I know and what, and just blow my own trumpet, that's it's very vulgar, isn't it? I mean, it's just very distasteful. For he that commendeth himself is approved. As a matter of fact, the more I tell you about myself, the less I feel approved to do anything. Because when I'm starting to, you know, that self-exaltation, I'll tell you why I should be the guy and why you should follow me. With each word, I'm becoming less and less the guy. No, let God determine who he approves and who he doesn't. Because they're all saying about Paul, like, nah, he's nothing. He's contemptible. He can't speak. He's this. He's not even a real apostle. He's the B team. He's not one of the 12. He's this. He's that. You're saying, you know, that's something that only God's supposed to really be able to say. You know, you can't really say that. So with that in mind, I don't want to run down a lot of people. I don't want to be personal. You know, sometimes I'll say something, this guy or this guy or this guy. And maybe I'll even use a name or a hint, you know, something like that. But I want to talk to you about the false teaching. But at the end of the day, I'm nobody's judge. I mean, we can judge teaching and say, that's Kool-Aid. Don't drink that. That you're going to end up spiritually dead. You gulp that stuff down. That's horrible. And I like to talk in terms of doctrines, you know what I mean? And if there's a wolf, I mean, listen. If you love sheep, you beat up wolves. That's what shepherds do. And if there's a wolf around, I like to let you know. But at the end of the day, God commends, and God approves, and God disapproves. And we just have to remember that, okay? So, you know, anyway, that's it. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we take these things to heart, Lord, we want to be the guys with the weapons. I mean, we already have the weapons, but we want to employ them to the casting down of strongholds. Not only in our lives, but in our community, in our sphere of influence. We want to be the prayer guys. We want to be the word guys. And Lord, some of us here, even here, I wonder if we're still, you know, have that vain imagination thing going on, that thing that you don't like. And I wonder if it's disqualifying us for real service to you. Help us to once and for all be over it, Lord. Once and for all, I say right now, but we're gonna keep the battle going. We're in the middle of this, and until you call us home, Lord, we're gonna keep fighting and keep fighting and keep swinging and keep fighting. We've really got no other alternative. Protect us, Lord, and help us to be the men, the women you've called us to be, the Christian soldiers that you've called us to be, in light of these things that we're talking about tonight. And Lord, at the end of all this, we want to be found faithful. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Help us to live in such and such a way, and that's what we're going to hear when we enter into glory. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.